The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. I've been covering all the stuff that I knew I wanted to talk about in The Big Lead. So Aaron, I had not heard this Tacoma catalytic converter story.
Not going to lie to you, Dory, I hadn't either. Our desk editor, Diane, just came across this story from the News Tribune. Yeah, this guy was sleeping in his truck on Saturday, wakes up to somebody trying to steal his car parts. Apparently, this is all, of course, alleged, but you know, apparently he shoots the guy twice and then drags him in the back of his truck, takes him to a field and leaves him there. That's the story at a Lakewood over the weekend.
Jeez.
Yeah. Oh.
Was the guy, I hate to even ask this, but I need to know, was the guy alive or dead when he dragged him behind the truck?
That was my question, too, is how did the guy die? Was he killed by the gunshots, or was he killed by the dragging, or was it a combination of both? I'm not sure yet. We've reached out to police for more questions to that.
Jeez.
So I know, wild story.
That's a brutal story.
No kidding. Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. I assume you'll get more throughout the afternoon.
We're working on it. We put out the calls.
Yep. I need more info
on this one. We'll let you know.
Okay. I don't mean to laugh, but that's. These catalytic converter thefts, they can cost the victims $1,000. It's happening all over the region. It's just part of the soullessness of the region. I'll get to that in just a couple of minutes here, because we certainly saw the soullessness on display. Both the thieves and, in this Tacoma story, apparently the victim was pretty soulless, but the victim might be have to pay the greatest price now. So we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes here. I got a lot of adrenaline as I start the show today, because I have, for about 20 minutes here in my home studio, I have been engaged in mortal combat with a fly. And the best way to get a fly when it lands on the window is every guy knows this, you take off your shirt and then you throw it at the window. And that hopefully will injure the fly enough, because you don't want him to suffer. I used to think that flies had evil intent, because they were so annoying. And no, they're just trying to get by. They're just trying to live their life like you and me. But I can't have a fly flying around in the office. So it took literally 20 minutes, because I couldn't finish him off. And then he'd land elsewhere and I'd throw my shirt down. I'm running around shirtless in my office for about 20 minutes. And I tell you what, nothing gets you invigorated for a radio show like running around shirtless. So that's why I've got a little extra adrenaline this afternoon. It reminds me a little bit, Andrew, true or false, 20 years ago, I was taking a bath. A fly was annoying me during my bath, so I got a towel. And you know how guys use snap towels in the locker room? I snapped a towel at the fly as it was flying through the air. The very tip of the towel caught the fly just right, decapitated the fly. The headless fly body lands on the rim of my bathtub and walks around without a head for about 20 minutes. Is that a true or false story?
It sounds just crazy enough to be true, I think.
100% true. I got an entomologist at Washington State University to confirm that flies can live without a head. Although, what kind of a life is that when you think about it? It ain't really living. But it was amazing. Just the tip of the towel just ding, took the head off the fly, and then he was my friend. I wanted to adopt him as a pet when he walked around the edge of the tub for 20 minutes, because he'd shown me something.
They usually get in
contact
with
something was moxie.
You should go talk to the Book of Guinness World Records and see if that's the longest a fly has lived decapitated.
Yeah, I think it would be, because I doubt if anybody else has submitted that as a record. Although I'd need some proof of it now. So
that's a bit too far off now.
Anyway, that's why I got a little adrenaline today. So with all that as mere prelude, let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
As you know, last summer, around this time, when CHOP was forming, Jenny Durkin declared the summer of 2020 in Seattle to be...
We could have the summer of love.
Yeah, and We quickly found our theme song for Jenny Durkin because we said, no, this isn't shaping up as a summer of love, Miss Mayor.
This ain't the Garden of Eden. There ain't no angels above. And things ain't what they used to be. And this ain't the summer of love.
No, it turned out it wasn't the summer of love last year. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I declared the summer of 2021 to be, and it was shaping up, it hasn't even started yet, summer of 2021. But I think we know what kind of summer it's going to be around here. It's going to be a cruel summer around here. We're starting to see the signs of what could be some really serious, maybe worst ever, violence in Seattle. We're already ticking towards or trending toward a 30-plus year high with violence in Seattle. And we certainly saw this weekend. That was before I even knew about the Tacoma catalytic converter story. The guy shot him twice and then dragged him behind his truck. That's crazy. I gotta get more details on that one. But beyond that, this was a very sad weekend in so many ways. Part of the sadness was on I-5 night before last when there'd been a major accident. And then there was another accident of cars rolling up to the first accident. And that's when an off-duty Seattle Police 5-year veteran named Alexandra Harris, she was on her way home from shift. And, you know, we tell you all the time, all cops want is to be able to come home at the end of the day. And this officer, she could have kept going. There are cops on the scene or on their way to the scene. Washington State Patrol was on the way. But from everything her colleagues have said, that's not what Officer Alex Harris was about. She was always, always, always there to help. I saw a beautiful thing this morning that when the East Precinct was shut down because of domestic terrorism last summer, that a lot of those officers moved to Alex Harris's precinct. And in the women's restroom, she put up a sign and said, "Welcome to all the East Precinct officers. If there's anything we can do to help you, let us know." She was just always giving and reaching out, according to all of her colleagues. And so she stopped to help out on I-5 with this accident. And that's when, as soon as she got out of her car, she was hit by a vehicle. And she was dead at the scene of this accident. Just a horribly sad and tragic story. Deborah Horn, Cairo 7, she's been covering it all weekend.
Speaks to where we are as a society, where we...
And I should note, this is Washington State Patrol Captain Ron Mead, who was speaking at the presser yesterday.
Speaks to where we are as a society, where we have such callousness when it comes to the loss of life.
Washington State Patrol Captain Ron Mee did not try to hide his emotions regarding the death of a Seattle police officer who was off duty, yet chose to stop along I-5 in the middle of rain there to help troopers dealing with two multi-vehicle collisions within 90 minutes of each other. The chaos and confusion of two scenes in the same area still apparent.
What we do know is that one of the drivers involved in that original collision, in the original three-car collision, which is the subsequent series of collisions, is the one that stole the officer's personal vehicle.
Indeed, the officer had just gotten off work when she spotted that second accident. That was 1:18 Sunday morning. A minute later, the call came in that she had been struck. As would be expected, the tragedy has hit her family hard. Her colleagues are taking it hard, too.
Why is this one impacting you to the degree that it is?
Listen, anytime an officer, anytime a person is killed simply out there doing what they think is right, should be problematic to anybody.
If you listen to that whole press conference with Washington State Patrol Captain Ron Mead, he was really wearing his heart on his sleeve and, you know, talking about how, you know, she could have kept driving. She didn't have to to stop on I-5.
Having somebody that happens to be an officer that just finished their shift serving the citizens of Seattle, only to be struck and killed while rendering assistance, arguably could have gone on their way and driven home and gone to bed at the end of that shift. They didn't do that. Out of their sense of duty, their sense of responsibility, they're no longer with us.
The person who hit Officer Alex Harris did stop and was cooperating, but then somebody else in that accident ran, jumped in the dead officer's car, and stole it. So, and that person's still on the loose. So they obviously had stuff they needed to get hidden or hide from, or they were under the influence when they caused the accident, and now somebody's on the loose who stole the officer's car. And then I referenced, you know, the beautiful things that her colleagues said about her. And Brandy Cruz at Q13 received a letter from a former SPD officer.
I heard from a few current and former Seattle police officers who worked with Officer Harris. One of them who left SPD last year reached out to me, sent an email saying, "It's no surprise to hear that Lexi selflessly put the safety of others before her own, but it is tragic and heartbreaking to know that she lost her life doing just that."
It is. It is heartbreaking and tragic. And the fact that somebody is so soulless. And that's kind of the theme of the weekend around here. There was a lot of soullessness. And it's all being imported by our local politicians. When you have the amount of violence that we had this weekend, you may recall that a couple of weeks ago, I talked with the Seattle regional directors of both Border Patrol and Homeland Security. And they told me about what was happening on the streets, that the reason we are headed towards record number of shootings and murders is because of a tremendous gang problem that we have around here. And I don't know if gangs were involved in this I-5 crash, but what we know is, you know, likely if somebody stole her vehicle and took off, that there was somebody who was under the influence of either alcohol or drugs. We also know that there were lots of other shootings around the region this weekend. There was in White Center. There was a shooting there.
After last night's shooting, Andre Taylor, founder of Not This Time, says he talked to the top brass in Seattle and King County.
When I talked to Chief Diaz and Sheriff Mitzi, I said, Seattle needs to do something that it hasn't done before. It needs to have a gang summit. It needs to be in a no judgment zone, but there needs to be some type of gang summit because I've seen it work in Los Angeles before. So we need to do something different.
One of those shot in White Center was Anderson's dad, also named Horace. He was released from Harborview with a gunshot wound to his face. Now he and Taylor believe he and his family need to be relocated for their safety. In fact, Taylor has started a GoFundMe account to help Anderson raise the money to help his family move while he recovers from his injuries.
What? So Andre Taylor is our new street czar, making $150,000 a year. The self-described former pimp is making $150,000 off the taxpayers. And one of the four men shot at that cafe in White Center this weekend is the father of Horace Anderson, who was shot and killed at CHOP a year ago. And when Andre Taylor says we need a gang summit, it is easy to assume that the guy who's out there on the streets, our street czar, knows that this was a gang shooting in White Center. Likely the son of Horace Anderson, same name, 19 years old, killed at CHOP, probably involved in a gang. So, you know, the one who was shot at CHOP, the family is looking for tens of millions of tax dollars from the city. The street czar is starting a GoFundMe. If you make 150 grand a year, why don't you just move them? I mean, GoFundMe is voluntary. Nobody has to contribute. But why would you? If this is a family that is allegedly, but by the description of Andre Taylor, it sounds like this was all gang related. Why in the world would we reward somebody who's in a gang-related shooting with a GoFundMe? And you could ask the same question. If The son was shot because of gang activity, which is certainly what police suspect happened at CHOP. There were warring gangs on the scene there. But should we really be, you know, forking over tens of millions of dollars to a family who, sadly, son and father are allegedly ganged up? It just doesn't make any sense to me. But this is what deepens the problem. This doesn't fix the problem. Just giving money to people for the choices they make? That's just crazy. But that's what they want to do. Oh, it wasn't just I-5 hit and run killing. It wasn't just White Center, but also just a few blocks from where I grew up at Shulshul Bay Marina. I've ridden my bike alongside the marina there thousands and thousands of times. That's where a driver of a car shot at a motorcyclist, striking the motorcyclist and another person who was behind the motorcyclist.
Seattle police tell us there was an altercation between the driver of a car and a motorcyclist. They say the driver of that car fired at least two shots. Both the motorcyclist and someone nearby were hit. The good news tonight is that both people shot should be okay in the long run. Now, from there, the suspect took off. Police chased after him. And again, he was arrested 5 miles away from here in the middle of downtown Seattle.
23-year-old victim in Pioneer Square was shot early Saturday morning. 12:22, shortly after midnight, gunshots near First and Cherry. The suspect left the area after the shooting. Officers responded. They tried to give aid to the victim for a gunshot wound to his chest. They brought the 23-year-old to Harborview, where he died from his injuries. So we're talking about four brutal killings this weekend. Or not all killings, but I-5 was a killing. Pioneer Square was a killing. White Center, four people shot, and Shulshul, two people shot. We have a pace for record gunfire. And this, and you know, all Jenny Durkin talked about, we're 70% vaccinated. It's just so screwed up, the priorities around here. And the fact that we've legalized drugs, we have gangs that are moving the drugs and are warring against each other. We have shootings where no doubt innocent people, like Officer Lexi Harris, ACAB, right radical left. Jeez. It was not a beginning to another summer of love. I think my prediction a few weeks ago is sadly coming true. That is your big lead. Coming up next, we will talk about some words, one particular word that is being banned by the Biden administration. And that's going to mean a significant change in your and my lives. I will explain coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, this weekend, I discovered another word that we're no longer allowed to use. It's one I've used an awful lot over the course of my lifetime, which, you know, just reveals, it just shows what a horrible, horrible, horrible human being I am. But before Congress, the new Biden administration office or department heads, they were testifying. And during the testimony, they were talking about people who give birth. And people who give birth are mothers, right? No, if that's what you thought, then you're a horrible human being, too. You should be ashamed of yourself. Here's what we found out. These what used to be mothers.
You shifted first. I also noticed you changed a term in your budget work. You shifted from in places from using the term mother to birthing people rather than mother. Can you help me get a good definition of birthing people?
Well, I'll check on the language there. But I think if we're talking about those who give birth, I think we're talking about I don't know how else to explain it to you other than
I was a little taken back when I just read it and saw it, that it's that the term mother was gone in spots and it was replaced with birthing people.
Yeah. Can't say mother anymore. And it wasn't just this guy who was testifying. The head of OMB, Shalonda Young, she was grilled by Representative Jason Smith on the same subject.
So is the administration's official policy to replace the term woman with birthing people?
I think our official policy is to make sure when people get service from their government that they feel included, and we're trying to use inclusive language.
They're inclusive. They're better people than you and me because they're more inclusive than you and me.
There are certain people who do not have gender identities that apply to female or male. So we think our language needs to be more inclusive in how we deal with complex issues. I think the underlying issue is most important that your colleagues, Lauren Underwood and others, are working on is to try to ensure that those of color who are giving birth leave the hospital alive. And that's the issue rather than the verbiage. The verbiage matters, but the underlying issue is extremely important. And a lot of your colleagues are working hard on this because all of those giving birth should have access to the same quality health care.
Birthing people. That's what mothers are now. I feel bad. As I said, I've used, in talking about my birthing person, I have for all of my life, even after you know, after we lost her several years ago, I'd always referred to her as my either mother or my mom. And I didn't realize how ignorant I've been, that I didn't call her my birthing person. And I'd like to apologize for that transgression. And for everybody who I've hurt by calling my mom, by calling my birthing person my mom. And then I started to get nervous because I was thinking about some songs that I really enjoy. And we got to change a bunch of songs now so that we can be progressive, enlightened. Better people than everyone else. Now, Chris Martin is filling in for Nicole today, producing the show. And Chris, as you may or may not know, is lead singer of the band Coldplay. Now, that's not your band, is it, Chris? It's Kinski, right? Now, I mean, it's very challenging because when I do Chris Martin band, Kinski isn't on the first two pages of Google.
Yeah, I wasn't happy about that, but that's all right.
You should hire one of those companies to boost Kinski up.
At least I'm not a solo artist just going by my name.
Yeah, that's right. But you are a musician, so you and I talked, and we thought about fixing some of these songs that are so horribly offensive. And let's try. Well, this one's very obvious, since we can't use mother or, I assume, mama anymore.
Birthing person. Birthing person.
Nice.
Birthing person. Birthing person.
I just can't get enough. And then you thought the other one that you did turned out even better than that. Is that right?
Yeah, this is some of my proudest moments here.
Okay. I'm sure it is. I'm sure you have never been prouder in any of your careers.
Birthing person, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home. Birthing person,
I can hear you are crying, you're so scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Let's kick it up here. All right, so we fixed We fixed Mamma Mia. We fixed Renegade. Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Styx? Yeah, Renegade. And then, I don't know. You said these others just didn't work when you tried to fix them. And
I think you should give it a shot.
Well, I'm not the singer that you are. But I'll have to go a few seconds into the song anyway here. Let's see what we can do with this one.
We will not let you go. We'll not let you go. Never. We'll not let you go.
Birthful person, birthing person.
Mamma mia, let me go.
Beelzebub.
Has the devil put aside for me?
You're not good at this. Well, that's about it, I think. I don't dare try this other one because of my horrible singing voice. And plus, it was fun for me, though, to hear the song again. I've screwed up my whole thing. There we go. Because this was kind of a hit when I was about 10 years old. Let me bring this up. Let me pull this up here. I don't know if I could do this one.
Come on, this is our hit. Sylvia's mother,
birthing person,
says Sylvia's busy, too busy to come to the phone. Sylvia's mother,
birthing person,
Sylvia's trying to start a new life of her own.
Birthing person. Forget it. But then, listen to this line, though, because it reminded me of something. Put it up full here.
And the operator says 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes.
And I realized there are a lot of people who have no clue what they're talking about. Because you don't understand that before we all had cell phones, we had pay phones all around. And you would put in coins, and then long-distance calls actually cost money. They weren't free like they are part of your plan, like they are now. And so you'd have to put in a bunch of coins for a long-distance call for, say, 3 minutes. And then if you're coming up to the 245 mark, the operator would come on in the middle of your call and say 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes. If you didn't have coins in your pocket, your attempt to get a hold of Sylvia through her birthing person would be totally unsuccessful because the operator would cut you off. So that's just a little history lesson for all the kids who are listening. All right. So if you have ideas of what other songs we need to fix, I was thinking of, I don't even know what we're going to call fathers now. I have no idea. I don't want to use the S word, but, blank donor. I don't know what to call fathers because obviously fathers and dad is horrible and not very progressive. So if you have an idea of what we call fathers, Inseminator was a Rolling Stone. Wherever he put his hat was his home. Now you see, I can't say he either. Z. Wherever Z put his hat was this home. There we go. Okay, we'll fix everything. We'll get it all done by the end of the year. Okay, quick time out. Lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
She might let you sing. Mama's gonna keep baby cozy and warm.
Speaking of the radicals controlling how we speak, because if you control our language, you're controlling our minds, right? If people check the way they speak, just because somebody says you can't say something like mother or father or Christmas. And now some schools, I'm very proud of how prescient I was more than a year ago on this show when it was clear that the radicals were going after our police. And they were succeeding. They were getting defunding movements in cities around the country, all of those cities seeing exploding crime rates and homicides, coincidentally. But I said, I guarantee you, and I had some good sources, I had some good intel. I said, I guarantee the next battleground is going to be our children through the schools, because the teachers have been so radicalized and the teachers are going to be allies. So if, say, Antifa or BLM, if they do a march into a school, the teachers aren't going to say, kids, you can't join them. Teachers will probably be leading the way out into the hallway so they can march with the infiltrators of the schools. And so it has turned out that the schools have indeed been the next battleground. And it's, you know, we're seeing in so many ways, from the effort to take kids away from the parents so they can change their gender at age 13. If you want to do that as an adult at age 18, couldn't care less. We should not be doing that to kids. Kids can't get tattoos. They can't buy alcohol. They shouldn't be allowed to change their gender, especially when the school to doctor pipeline cuts the parents out altogether. And now we're seeing it in other ways. Back in New Jersey, there's a entire school district. They've released their calendar for the next school year. There are no holidays listed on the calendar because holidays are offensive. Holidays are not inclusive. And so parents went to the school board meeting over the weekend and said, are you kidding me?
The overwhelming majority of the township population feels that they've grossly overstepped their bounds, that they're completely pushing their own personal political ideologies. This is just the latest in a series of events where they have completely pushed their agenda from the schools opening with coronavirus. They redecorated the board offices in the amount of tens of thousands of dollars. None of this is being done with any input from the residents of the town, the taxpayers, the teachers, or anyone else who's a stakeholder in this. They just keep, you know, pushing. And we're very open, and we want dialogue and input. And, you know, we understand that you vote for the people, but they're not representing the people that voted for them.
No, they're not. They're representing the radicals who want to control how we speak. So no more mention of Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas. None of it. Today is Flag Day. And I hope that there are people proudly flying their American flag, even if some consider it a symbol of hate and tyranny. But it's Flag Day. That wouldn't be allowed. That's not allowed in this Jersey school district. Tom Tatum is the father you just heard, and he said, there's not a soul who's hurt by these holidays.
Would hope it doesn't hurt anyone. It's the, you know, it's our nation, right? We're celebrating the heritage and also the freedoms that those brave men and women fought for to give us those freedoms that we have to be on here debating this topic and everything. So, you know, I can't imagine anyone who would have any sort of problem with that. Obviously, 4th of July being a summer holiday, it's not on the school calendar. Yeah. But for Memorial Day, you know, that's a huge one. We historically have our veterans come into classrooms to share their stories with our children. So how do you celebrate that if you can't even call it that?
No, you can't. You can't anymore. It all started because they had Columbus Day, and people who are not the slightest bit offended by Columbus Day, they complained because there are a lot of people who just enjoy complaining. And so then the school changed it to Indigenous Persons Day. And then everybody else said, well, this is ridiculous. And the school said, okay, no more holidays. No Thanksgiving, no Christmas, no nothing. And so what a joyless life is ahead for our kids, and if I have grandkids someday, if you can't reference mother and father, you can't talk about Thanksgiving and Memorial Day. What an absolutely joyless life that is being carved out for our children. And it's up to parents. This is the battle of our lifetime. It's up to parents to make sure this stops with your kids now. Okay, quick timeout, and then our fastest 15. That is coming up next as we keep rolling here. Dory Monson Show.